This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. Now, we spent a lot of time over the last couple of shows having a go at Chelsea, saying they pretty much didn't have much of a chance against Aston Villa. So, inevitably, they would go to Villa Park and put in arguably their best performance of the season, beating Aston Villa convincingly by 3-1 to book a place in the next round of the FA Cup. How did this happen, Greg?
Well, I don't know.
Because they were really good.
They were really good. Villa were really bad. Yeah. And I think the combination just made it such an easy night in the end for Chelsea, which was completely unexpected because everything they've done this season pretty much has been hard work. Off the back of losing 4 goals to Wolves at the weekend at home, the bad defending, the poor attacking play, Villa not been as good recently, but just come off the back of 5-0 against Sheffield United. They've only lost once at home. That was Newcastle. You thought, right, this is Villa going to pick up the baton again, second half of the season, put their foot down. No. They were terrible. Chelsea played some great stuff. And Fernandes in particular, in the middle of the park, got the run of Villa Park. And, you know, this is a great shot in the arm for Pochettino off the back of some really bad performances.
Yeah, Frank, you've seen a lot of those performances, of course. Today, very much the exception.
Yes, exactly what I thought when I saw it. And I said, wow, so unexpected. And what a great performance. Yes, the Villains didn't play well, but it's maybe due to what Chelsea offered today to their fans. They pace up their game. They try to be more direct and they stop maybe thinking too much. And that tiki-taka that we got fed up because he brought nothing, they went to something again more direct and they were very effective at front. You know, the goal from Gallagher, the header from Jackson was perfect and the beauty at the end, the free kick from Enzo achieved, you know, the perfect evening. I'm not getting crazy because, of course, we need more evidence that they back. It was maybe a very good day for Chelsea and a bad one for Aston Villa. But we need confirmation. But it's a very nice step to better days, that's for sure.
You can only beat the side that's in front of you, really, Stevie, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and even Chelsea, the way they've been playing, no question, could beat a team like Villa. I mean, this is a complete head-scratcher. You know, there's one thing to play a game and to lose it, but there's one thing to play a game and lose it in the manner they did. I mean, this was an FA Cup tie. You've got a packed house. You've got a fan base that can't wait to get behind you, but you give them absolutely nothing. And it was absolutely nothing from the start till the 90th minute. The 90th minute, they started when they got the goal. That is a complete head-scratcher. I mean, it really is. And you've got to question Unai Emery. We're always saying how great he is with his tactics and everything else. This, to me, was about man management. How could he not get his team up for this game? Because that they weren't up for this game. And then you get a chance to get them in at half-time. You get a chance to get them going, and they come out, and there's not an awful lot of change. He didn't make any changes. Question is, do you give them a kick up the backside at half-time, or do you make changes? So we thought, OK, he's kept them up the backside. He's going to give them a chance. And it just basically after 5 minutes went back to what it was in the first half. And what did he do? Nothing. He did nothing to 70th minute. So, yeah, this was awful and a complete head scratcher. The fact that in a fourth round cup tie at home, there's no intensity. Strange.
Apart from the goalkeeper, Petrovic, we did the game live, as you mentioned, and the 30 minute build up. I have to be honest here. Apart from the keeper, we pretty much went through every Chelsea player.
Yeah.
Like a dose of salt.
Stevie had to go to the goalkeeper as well.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
You said he was a rookie.
I said he was.
I mean, we went through the whole back four. Yep. We went for Thiago Silva, who's 39, but not really, you know, there's a different sort of story with him. We went through Caicedo and Fernandez's lack of control in games. Jackson's form, you know.
Two centre backs.
I suppose Gallagher, you know, Gallagher's been a talking point. He's worked hard. Would he stay? Would he go? But he's a grafter. I don't really see this big, oh, if we lose Conor Gallagher. But anyway, we went through the whole lot and said, listen, they've got Palace coming up, they've got City coming up, they've got Tottenham coming up, and then they've got Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final. What was going to happen if they got a complete pasting in this game? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, that was the build-up to, like, how are Villa not going to win this? How are Chelsea going to survive a thrashing? And what's Pochettino going to say after the game? It would have been hard to put up any other argument beforehand. And so for Pochettino, from their perspective, looking at that schedule that I'm talking about coming up, yeah, it's one win, but at least it gives them some confidence and him maybe some time away from, you know, are they going to sack you, or how are you going to pick the players up for these big games ahead? At least now there is something to cling on to with this performance.
He's getting asked different questions now because of the win.
But the only way it goes forward is if they take this forward.
Yes.
I mean, no point in going to Crystal Palace, who are struggling, and Roy Hodgson sort of teetering, playing poorly and losing, and then it all sort of falls away. So it was a great night for them, the best of the season. I think he said that. Certainly in my eyes, I don't remember them playing better against what you would call one of the top five or six sides, away from home on the road. But how do you bottle that and say, right, we take this to the next game, we dominate, and then we move on from here? If he can't do that, he's got problems. If he can, he's got half a chance.
And of course, he came under this under such spotlight because of what happened against Wolves, Frank, and then the Enzo Fernandez story that he wanted out. And then, of course, Thiago Silva, his girlfriend, wife, tweeting out and then falling out, suggesting between Silva and Pochettino. What does this tell you about the belief that this squad has of their coach to go and put in that sort of performance with everything kind of crumbling around it?
Well, you know, when everything goes wrong, you have a target, and the biggest target and the easiest one is the coach. And players are starting to criticize the coach, thinking that the tactic is not good, the choices of even the players are not good. And but you have to take care of everything that people are seeing in the media. If Thiago Silva's wife really said that or not, you know, I'm not sure about that. So Thiago Silva already has already been in on the bench, and not because of his wife's comments. It's just because it was a tactic and because he's 39 and he needs the rest. And I think it was more that. And when he came on, I saw Pochettino, you know, putting his hand on his shoulder, talking to they were talking to each other. I didn't feel a tension between them. What about Enzo Fernandez? I don't believe it. You know, again, you know, there was all stories behind the scenes, and you don't know what is true or what is fake. And I want to believe what I see on the field. And today, if the players wanted Pochettino to be sacked, they wouldn't have played like that. They would have let the game go, and it would have been out very quickly. They fought, and I think there is a change of spirit. And Pochettino has to learn that from that game. They didn't try to be in control of the game. They are, the Villains had two chances at the beginning of the game. It could have been a different scenario. But they took the risk of being a little bit open, I'm talking about Chelsea, to get into counter-attack and to score goals. And when you play away from home against Aston Villa, it's the way you have to do. Don't try to be in control of the game. Don't try to make 800 passes. Just try to score goals. It's what they try to do. And maybe it's a philosophy that they have to learn from and be maybe more used to that, maybe.
I'm sure at 39, Thiago Silva will get over anything somebody said or not said. It's not ideal, but it's one of those. Listen, just sort of stay out of it. It's not an ideal scenario, but I was expecting De Sassi and Badia Shield to be given a torrid time by Ollie Watkins. They were not. That was a big surprise. The other thing being is, I think the big winner looking at this game is Tottenham and Ange Postecoglou.
Right, with regards to Villa's form.
With regards to Villa And, you know, there at the moment it's Tottenham and probably Villa. Maybe you could throw United as a long shot if they can. But Tottenham and Villa sort of going head for head. Villa looked to me, and have a little bit recently, although I didn't expect this result, but they've just looked a little bit more jaded recently. Yeah, they beat Sheffield United 5-0. That was over at half-time when they were 4-0 up. But there was the loss at home to Newcastle. There was the draw at home to Sheffield United. There was the lacklustre away performance in this tie at Stamford Bridge that produced the replay. So there has been some... a little bit of lacklustre. You get the 0-0 at Everton as well thrown in there. They beat Burnley, they beat Middlesbrough, they lost at Man United. So they haven't been as sharp. And so I think the signs are there, and they didn't really replenish in January. They signed Morgan Rodgers from Middlesbrough. So they Frank, I know Chelsea played well tonight, and there's nobody taking anything away from Chelsea because they're having a bad time. And this was a great result. But I honestly felt Aston Villa were extremely, extremely poor tonight, and they did not look like a side that are going to challenge for the top four this season.
I agree with you, and they were very poor because, as everybody, I think, before the game, they never thought that Chelsea would play that way, and they would never thought that they would react that way. Everybody was thinking that it would be a given for the villains because Chelsea was so poor against Wolves the game before, losing every game. So you say, okay, they're going to come their head down and we're going to finish them. That's what they thought. They thought it would be easy for them. It would be an easy game. And when Gallagher scored, they weren't able to react because they weren't ready for that. You know, we've been players. We know how sometimes we feel that the game's going to be a given one, but if it doesn't go the way we thought, it's impossible to react. And the villains didn't prepare. It's why I agree with Steve when he talked about man management. They weren't prepared to fight for that game.
What's interesting, Stevie, now, 3 wins in the last 9 matches, 1 in 5, however you want to sell it. You always say it's easy coaching when things are going well.
Yeah.
It's when you're in that blip to try and get them out of it.
Yeah, you've got to figure out the reasons, you know. And Craig's talking about being jaded. That to me, so far, would be the main reason.
Right.
That's not going to
resolve itself.
Well, that's not good.
Soon.
That's not good because if your legs are tired, then no amount of coaching or tactics are going to make up for that. But on the face of this performance, I would have to agree that looks to be the answer. Because a team that has legs can play a half of football badly and be outplayed and outthought and outfought. But a team with legs can get roasted up at half time and come out and show that they've got legs and show a bit of fight and desire. But when you don't have the juice in your legs, you get what we saw in the second half. And that was not intensity, it was not fight, it wasn't desire. That would be the worry for me. I think it's very easy to get carried away with how good Chelsea played, but it's only one game. I think more worryingly, if you're Aston Villa, you're worried about how poor you were and for the reasons behind it.
Boubacar Kamara was terrible. Tielemans was ineffective. But those are two players that he can take them in and out the side.
Yeah.
Right, for injuries or dropping them or resting them. The main concern would be that the driving engine behind Villa this year, for the main part, has been Douglas Luiz and John McGinn. Right, two different players for two different facets to their skill sets and blah, blah, blah. But they two were so far off the game tonight. You know, Douglas Luiz has controlled a lot of games this year. Hardly saw him on the ball, never won a tackle. John McGinn is normally everywhere, winning tackles, busy, getting in the box, getting on the end of stuff, doing a little bit of everything. Got taken off, hardly saw him. That's the worry. These guys have played a lot of football. It's not the biggest squad, but it's one that they have to deal with, and it just looks to me as if he might have to find a different way and maybe with some different players to give one or two of these guys a little rest to go again, because that was very unlike Villa tonight.
And very unlike Chelsea as well, I suppose you could say. Here's Mauricio Pochettino with Alexis after the game.
Mauricio, congratulations. What a difference a couple of days make from the last 2 games in the league to this performance. Did it surprise you even a little bit?
No, no surprise. I think it was similar to Liverpool, but we didn't score because the referee didn't concede the penalty. And then the game changed. And today I think we start well and we score. When we score, the team start to play really well and was very comfortable on the pitch. Yeah, so pleased because, yes, the feelings always are different when you win. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after the last two results, like I said, you know, you see the frustrations with the players. You've had to say that it's important to stay together. What have, I suppose, your talks been like with them to result in what we saw today?
No, I think we were talking a lot, only a few days to talk. Yes, it was nice to be all together. I see the feeling, I see the energy from the player that they wanted to, you know, to bounce back and to change, you know, all this energy that wasn't great after Wolverhampton, and that is why I am so grateful and so happy because I think they did a very good job.
And then now the important thing, of course, is to build that consistency so that we see this more often. Did you see anything today that could suggest that you can build on this? Is this exactly where you want to be, how you want Chelsea to play?
Of course, I've seen too many good things. I've seen to play again a team and dominate and didn't concede too many, you know, only in the last 10 minutes we conceded a few chances, but I think we didn't control the game and make us very pleased because I've seen it's in the way that we want to play, it's in the way that we need to play, and of course now is the challenge is to be consistent.
Mauricio, muchas gracias, felicidades.
Muchas gracias.
What Liverpool game was he watching? Is it the one where Liverpool had 28 efforts on goal?
But overall, it makes things a lot easier going into that Palace game now, doesn't it? Than if they'd lost this match. Oh. But it's about getting this momentum going.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is easier said than done.
Yes.
Off the back of one result. If you remember Liverpool last year when they were having their struggles, we kept saying, remember they beat Man City and we were at home and we're like, right, that's it. That's their season going to kick on. It happened like several times. You're going, right, it's going to kick on now. But it never did. So it's not that easy to just keep, you know, if you're not in that winning run mentality. But look, it's certainly 100 times better to go into this game on Monday at Palace, away from home at Selhurst, with this performance in the bank rather than another dreadful one.
Can I just say that if there's one person who's not going to be carried away with us, it's going to be Pochettino.
Right, OK.
Listen, because if you watch this game, if you saw his face after they took the lead, he wasn't doing an Arteta, he wasn't punching in the air. You can see in his face, he's like, OK, this is good, but there's a long, long way to go here.
Sure.
So if there's one man who's not going to be carried away, it's going to be Pochettino. He knows the problems he's got and he knows that one game doesn't clear the whole thing at the rod.
So then Chelsea will play Leeds in the next round of the FA Cup. We learn also that it will be Nottingham Forest who will take on Manchester United. The lineup is then complete for these FA Cup fifth round games. They'll be played at the end of February. Meanwhile, Frank Thomas?
Frank Thomas.
Dan Thomas.
Yeah.
No, that's my granddad. Thomas Frank would be talking about Ivan Toney's future. I just say what I see, that's it.
Ivan Toney.
It is relatively obvious that Ivan Toney will probably be sold this summer. We also know what he's worth. I don't think there are many strikers in the world who are better than him right now. Personally, as a coach, I prefer to keep Toney, but one day it could be fun to see him on a top team. Frank is still with us.
He's only just back after this long ban and all of a sudden there's not many strikers in the world better than him. I mean, that's a bit of a statement.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Everyone should have a little ban.
That's
a lot better.
I suppose it's like trying to sell a car. You give it a good polish and clean up and, you know, try and
but don't drive it for a few years. Yeah. Where you go with that analogy?
Put a Bible in the glove compartment. Do anything. I don't know where I'm going with this. Ivan Toney.
There's oil underneath the car. That gives it away, doesn't it?
Where should he go?
Ha. How long's a piece of string? I don't know. I mean, he's a handful.
Who should fight the hardest to get him? Who needs him the most?
Oh my God. Who are in desperate need of strikers? You may argue Arsenal, that I wouldn't say it's desperate.
Right.
Chelsea are, for sure. maybe Tottenham. Although there is a guy in really good form there.
Yeah, Richarlison.
No, but I think long run, long over the long period, I think they will be in the hunt for a striker. Because he can play several positions, or in, you know, we can talk about his form. So I think they will be in the hunt if we're looking at England. Do I see him going to Arsenal? I don't really see that, to be honest.
So you'd say Chelsea, probably?
If I was Chelsea, I'd have to ask myself a question. If I want to be back amongst the big boys, right, which is, if they're spending that kind of money, that's where they want to be, is Ivan Toney going to be the answer?
Right.
Right, and really? Is he at that level?
You tell me, is he?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I'm with Craig. I don't think he is, but it's very difficult to argue with the stats. I mean, the guy's goal-scoring record in the Premier League is really, really good. So that's really hard to argue with. I would think he fits better at Tottenham. I don't think he fits Arsenal or any of those teams. I think Tottenham's a good fit. Now, Richarlison right now is on fire. I've told you, I don't think he's going to be able to keep that up. You can have him up through the middle and you can bring him Son's back and you play him back where he was with Harry Kane on the left. I think Tottenham would be the best destination for him. I don't believe Liverpool, City or Arsenal is a place for him.
I think Chelsea will go for a bigger...
So an Osimhen.
Somebody with more perceived gravitas, you know, big Osimhen, big name. I think that's where Chelsea will go. I'm with Stevie, and that's why I mentioned Spurs. I think, and I have no idea what Postecoglou will do, but I could see him fitting into that side more so than any of the other teams.
What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think it's a possibility that Ivan Toney doesn't stay in England and go to somewhere else. And... yeah, Chelsea's going to try to get him. Maybe Tottenham, but with Richarlison coming back at his best, you know, maybe they won't need anybody. But, you know, because Mbappe is leaving for Real Madrid, I don't know what Osimhen will do, but there is a room for Ivan Toney playing with Dembele and Barcola at front. That could be very interesting, and he can be served and well-served and score goals. So that could be an option for PSG and also Ivan Toney. But yeah, otherwise, I see Chelsea or Arsenal looking for him because he knows the Premier League and because they kind of need more Chelsea than Arsenal, a striker for sure next season.
Well, why doesn't he fit Arsenal?
Why? No, I'm not saying he doesn't fit Arsenal. I could just see him going to Tottenham. I could just see him going... I just think the way they play, I don't know if he's really looking for an out-and-out striker.
Right.
Arteta. I mean, I know everybody's calling for it. You know, everybody in the dog. Oh, he needs this, he needs that. He needs a striker. He needs sort of number nine, somebody in the box. I'm not convinced, and we know he's a bit of an oddball when it comes to, like, Arteta, that is, when it comes to signings. He's got a different mindset, it seems, about the way this game is. That it's sort of his way or the highway, and I don't believe that he believes. I think he thinks you can go with Jesus or Havertz up there that he did against Liverpool, or somebody like that that's floating around and doing different things, and he'll get goals from other places. And they didn't. It seems to me, on the face of it, they did not push in January for somebody to come in and back up, whether it be short term or not. So I don't. I've got just a feeling I've got. I don't think he'll go to Arsenal.
Just a reminder, ESPN FC, where we are with you every single day. Be sure to join us. Myself and Craig will be back tomorrow. Jan joining us as well. Frank Thomas, as we start to turn our attention to those big games this weekend, including Bayer Leverkusen against Bayern Munich.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We've seen some strange decisions, haven't we, from the officials this season. This is one of the strangest. Vitor Hoque here would get a second yellow card.
Right. What have they done?
Nothing? Nothing. They're not overturning.
Well, he was trying to flick. Actually, that was the guy coming in with the stud. He tried to flick the ball over the defender here.
Yeah.
You look what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Now, he might catch him slightly with his studs trying to do so. He wasn't trying to commit. He wasn't trying to do the defender. He was trying, as I said, he saw the defender coming and he was trying to flick the ball over him. Now, the defender got there before him. But
I'm not sure. He's a foul the other way. Defender's got his foot up.
Yeah.
But am I surprised, though?
No.
It's the frustrating thing, isn't it, Frank? Like, you made a mistake. You've seen the video. Everyone's seen you made a mistake. Just admit it. Then no suspension and move on, surely.
Yeah, it should be like that. But some human beings have a big ego and they can't admit that they're wrong. And obviously, that guy is wrong. You know, that's we can all agree that Vitor Roque didn't touch the players, try even to avoid the tackle. So that's absolutely insane, and I will go to stupid as well.
No, I think
they couldn't get involved with it during the game.
No. But
because Barcelona, the referee gave a second yellow.
Exactly.
Yeah, so VAR couldn't get involved.
Yeah. But Barcelona have appealed it, and they went, no, we didn't say anything.
No.
Well, this is not politics.
Yeah.
All they're doing is looking after the referees' union.
There will be...
They've just gone like that. When they looked at it, they've gone, Barcelona have said, have a look at this. This is ridiculous. And they've gone, let me just open the drawer of ridiculousness. In you go, sweep. I'm going to sweep you in with all the other decisions from La Liga this season. There you go, and you pop.
Yeah, that drawer is filling up quickly.
The drawer is getting filled, you know, and maybe they won't have any rooms anymore. So,
well, they got a stupid booking when he came on, didn't they?
Well, that wasn't even a yellow card either.
The defender tried to block him. He did throw an arm up, but I mean, what we're saying is a Barcelona sort of conspiracy out there.
No, because then you could talk about the Girona goal, which was ridiculous as well. We could go down a whole cul-de-sac there. Barcelona will appeal yet again.
Well, don't go down that cul-de-sac, because
got no chance.
Has he changed his mind?
I don't know. Let's not go there. So Barcelona, I think, have one more level of appeal to go through.
Well, they're not going to bother, are they?
And of course, La Liga is all about the big game on Saturday this weekend. First versus second, Real Madrid taking on Girona. Coverage of that game starts live at 12 p.m. Eastern. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC. It was Kylian Mbappe's first home game for PSG since suggestions are that he'll be going to Real Madrid in the summer. He would score as they would beat Brest by 3-1 to book a place in the next round of the French Cup. Frank, you watched this one for us. Really all eyes are on what sort of reception Mbappe would get from the PSG fans. How was it?
That was perfect. I mean, from the start to the end, fans were behind him on the first ball that he touched. I was real carefully listening to what the fans would say, and they were behind him when he scored the goal. They got crazy. I mean, everything was perfect. And I saw, crazy or not, I saw Mbappe fighting for the ball to get it back when he was losing it. Unbelievable. I saw him tackling, you know, and getting the ball back. And I say, wow, that's a new Mbappe. And Ancelotti already has given him some orders, you know, for next season that he has to work for the team. Now, but that was a good game for Mbappe. That was nice to see the fans not being upset about what should be the decision. And I saw great Mbappe. I was scared on the action that we saw on the red card that he got because he, in fact, it was more his knee than his ankle. And he's fine. He had a great game. He was Mbappe, and he was working for the team, and everything was perfect.
Well, the way I'm reading that is that
he didn't have to contribute in this segment.
No, I feel obliged to say it seems to me that the fans are happy to see the back of him.
Oh, that's it.
And that fed up with the circus and the big baby. Now that he's got his way, he's finally running around making tackles. No?
All right. Only you could see it like that, I believe, Mr. Burley. Who's going to replace him, Frank?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Tony Ivan.
Tony Ivan.
Excuse me?
Who will replace Mbappe?
Oh, well, you know, we talked about Tony. I think Osimhen would be a good choice for Paris. I don't know if he wants to go there. But that's the kind of player we see with the pace and working with Dembele and Barcola. That could be also a good match. So my favorite is Osimhen, and since Tony seems to be available, yeah, that's a good possibility as well.
A lot more on what's been going on in the world of football in the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. That's available to listen to on Thursday. Be sure to go over to the website and to download it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Meanwhile, there was no Pokal game today because of the rain. You want to see rain? There it is. That's what it looks like. Good. Saarbrücken against Gladbach then for Stone.
And that's a wet pitch. We've never seen a wet pitch, but that's a wet pitch.
There you are. That's rain. Beautiful.
Now, anywhere on in Europe, that game would have been on. But Germany, for some reason, just did it, Ray.
Oh, really? That is it. Thank you very much. That brings to the end of today's show. Frank is back. Craig and Stevie here as well, of course, to answer your questions. What are you doing? For extra time.
Talking myself up, yeah.
A lot of questions about Chelsea today. Welcome to Extra Time. Frank is here.
But the usual.
Craig and Steve. How are the panel going to analyse the Chelsea game? It's not Chelsea being good, more so Villa being bad, right? So predictable. I hope they prove me wrong. Probably talked about this a lot in the show, and I think we gave Chelsea a lot of credit, didn't you guys?
Maybe the rest of the other side of the coin, I really don't care what anybody thinks, how we analyse the game, because they're in their own little paranoid mind.
Yep.
In their own little sort of semi-brain box. It's about that size when it comes to football. That was the most predictable question that I've ever heard. I knew that, you just knew that was coming. And if I'm upsetting people watching this show, but then so be it.
What about people working on the show? You choose the questions.
Well, I mean, I think they know where their bread's buttered.
How are you, Frank?
I'm good. I'm happy for Chelsea, and I'm unhappy to read questions like that. It doesn't make any sense. It's like every fans, you know, you cannot touch to their club. You cannot say they're bad, even if they are. You always have to say, yeah, they had a bad game, but we'll see. No, we would have said that, you know, for Chelsea for a year and a half, we would have been sacked because that would be untrue. We have to say what we see. It doesn't matter if we love or not the club. I love Chelsea. Yeah, like I love Marseille, like I love Strasbourg and Laval because I played for them. But I have to be fair. And the reality is, and has been, that Chelsea didn't play well. Tonight they played well. We said it. And if tomorrow they don't play well, we'll say they played bad. And if you're not happy, that's the way it is. And that's the way you would have to... That's it.
Yeah. So if you're not happy, write in.
Frank Leboeuf, Paris, France.
Yeah.
right into that.
Somebody will take it on board and complain about us, and then we'll
Craig, did you have
on.
A word with
soldier on from there?
Craig, did you have a word with Pochettino in the positivity corner before the game?
Well, didn't need to. Aston Villa did. Aston Villa did it all full. But no, it was a totally unexpected. If you'd watched, not even this season, if you just watched them on Saturday or at the weekend, whatever day it was, against Wolves at home, you would never have said that same side would have gone up to Villa Park and controlled the game and played in the way they were. You'd have been laughed at.
Ask Stevie, how does it feel after predicting Chelsea to lose 3-1 and he didn't give them a sniff of a chance?
What do you mean, how do you feel?
How do you feel?
Well, I'll sleep all right, innit?
You sure?
I think I'll sleep all right. Yeah. Listen, if anybody had said before the game today that Chelsea were going to dominate this game, blah, 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 you would have had them locked up. You would have taken them to the hospital and get them checked out. Okay. I mean, that's just how bad Chelsea have been.
I should call this bit extra time. I should just call it ridiculous reactionary tweets.
Exactly. Steve, Angry Birds. You're playing Angry Birds earlier. Was that exciting for you?
Aye.
It's good taking it old school, bringing it back.
I don't know how to turn that off.
Frank and Craig, is this the Chelsea we're going to see from now on?
Don't think so.
Shit.
Talk to me after the lose at Palace.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Frank, why have you chosen so many Chelsea questions, Frank?
No. Oh, what a giant bore. Let's producer Mike, let's bombard this with Chelsea questions tonight. Oh, wonderful.
It wasn't Mike, it was the boss. Oh, there you go.
The boss? Where is he?
Choosing Chelsea questions.
that's his job these days.
There you go.
That's it, sacked in the morning. In the morning for saying all he does is pick stupid questions.
Oh, no, you may get a call tonight.
I will get a call tonight.
Frank, is this the Chelsea we're going to see from now on?
Well, we don't have the answer. We definitely don't have the answer, but I would love to see that. And I explained before during the show that if they change their frame of mind, their mindset about just keeping the ball what it was for a year and a half, not getting anything from there, being and now paced up the game, being more direct, maybe something will change. You know, when I see Liverpool, it's the way I see the game, and it's how I love football. And it's what I want to see with Chelsea. I want to see pace like I saw today. Risk, because risks are part of the game. And today they did take risks and they've been successful. So I want to see that. Will they do that? I don't know. We'll see very soon, yeah?
Risk and reward.
This show's a bit like Chelsea in a respect.
I hope not.
Okay, here we go. This is like your awful car analogy.
Yeah. No, currently, there is no accountability, right? We blame the producer
right.
for these god-awful questions.
Okay.
And I reckon it was within a second
right.
of me splutting that out,
yes.
he blamed somebody else.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, okay, I'll take on the chin.
Well, it wasn't really his fault, though, in that occasion, was it? If he didn't choose the questions, then he doesn't have to say that he did.
Well, why not? He could take one for the team.
But he doesn't want to throw the boss under the bus. Bosh.
He's thrown me under it again.
Stevie, would you keep Pochettino if he delivers one of the cups but has a poor league finish?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
You've been very nice to Pochettino, Fred.
Well, I just I can't think of any coach in world football that could turn this team into any kind of consistent machine.
Right.
I just don't see it. And I lied to the fact that the two previous managers are great coaches. Then that says to me that it's not down to the coaching. Certainly not in the largest part.
Final question. Why are you so mean to Frank? I don't think we're mean to you, Frank, do you? Do you feel we're mean to you?
No, I think you love me. It's why you tease me. That's the right answer. And and it's what we say in French, you know, who loves somebody, tease him. So that's what it is. I think you like it because you know that I'm a nice person and I would never be offended by what you say, you know. But that's fine by me. I love you.
I think he's just made that up.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I've known Frank since around the mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
almost 30 years.
Yes.
I have never known anything else than anybody been mean to Frank.
Okay, he just has that face.
But I mean in a nice way.
Right.
I.e.
telling him to shut up.
Correct.
Regularly.
Or words to that effect.
Okay, beautiful.
And Frank, it's something that he's had to deal with his whole life.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's it, we're done.
I know. It's too late.
They've answered all our Chelsea questions. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a very diverse group of questions come into the programme tonight.
We'll be back tomorrow for more of this.
One swallow makes a summer, Chelsea. I'll always get the questions in.
Oh, dear.
Well, me and you back tomorrow, son. What could possibly go wrong?
Last day, I don't care.
I'll do that. What, last day ever?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Tomorrow, I'm going to swear on the show tomorrow.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.